The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Joining us on today's show is Charlie Smith from the City of Angels, way out west. Charlie, how are you doing and where can the fans find you?
Fans can find me at Smith_MLB. Doing all right, Cody. Thanks so much for asking.
Happy to have you on. Also joining us on the show today, from the Grand Strand, aka Myrtle Beach, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you doing and where can the fans find you?
I can be found at Cushman MLB podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Find my baseball only Facebook account at Terry Talks Sox on Instagram, and you can find our Substack as well. We are doing content in print form, and as I mentioned on the last episode, it's not your typical blog post. It's panel style where we all weigh in on a topic by giving two or three paragraphs or more. So check that out as well. I'm sure everyone will enjoy it. And another thing too, this is the best season we've had with hot takes in terms of engagement from our following. So we appreciate everyone on Twitter that dives in on these tweets, and it's sort of like a mailbag episode, but with a twist. And it's been a good show for us all season, so we appreciate that.
Definitely couldn't do this segment without you all. Thank you for the interactions. Please come and speak with us on the Substack, on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever you can find us. We'd love to have a conversation, love to have a dialogue. But as you all know, it is Tuesday, which means it's Hot Take Tuesday. So, Charlie, why don't you kick it off with your first hot take?
Absolutely. So for my hot take, this is going to be coming to us from someone I've played patty cakes with a couple of times, has been right sometimes, has been wrong sometimes. This is a Johnny Fontaine won. The Red Sox will be within 3 games of a wild card spot at the deadline and will still trade their expiring contracts. So thank you, Johnny, for another hot take. And truth be told, we keep using yours because they're relatively decent and there's usually some stuff that we can talk about given the information. So the Red Sox are 1.5 games out right now as it stands. They are about to go through the gauntlet of teams that are actually the ones you don't want to be facing. So The Red Sox have Philly and New York right after a soft Chicago White Sox series. Then you got Toronto. They're starting to do well. Cincinnati, they've got some players that have done pretty well. You never know what's going to happen with San Diego. Toronto, again, we already mentioned. I don't think in a million years you can sit there seriously saying that we're going to be within three games at the deadline, because I think we're going to get smoked. I think we're going to be probably seven games out, and we're definitely going to be sellers, because even if we're one game out, we're still not buyers at the deadline. It just won't happen. So I appreciate the hot take, Johnny. It's positive thinking for some, you know, interesting thought process that you got on that one, but the Red Sox are not going to be within three games, and they're going to move a lot of players, and you're going to see a lot of things happen.
Derek?
I agree with Charlie. We're going to be well under, and probably as far under as we've ever been in the post-Dombrowski era. I just think the floor is going to drop. And I mean, the only player you might get back is Casas. And I'm extremely skeptical of that July 1st target date, because he's still not swinging a bat. And it's something that they really need to be cautious with, especially in a lost season. Why rush it? Why rush him? Be cautious, and hopefully the mechanics will get addressed so that we don't have a repeat of that type of an injury. But Johnny also says they'll still trade their expiring contracts. I do fully agree with that. I think it'll be a mandate. That was one of the things John Henry was really upset about the last couple of seasons, that we didn't trade Nathan Eovaldi, we didn't trade Xander Bogaerts, and then last year there were no trades as well, when you definitely could have moved some guys. But this is a brutal month. July is a bit softer, but you still got the Yankees in there. You got the Royals, who are having a good season. In fact, you have the Yankees twice. You got the Dodgers three games. You got the Mariners for three games right at the tail end of the month. So I think Charlie says seven under. I think you could be as many as 8 to 10 under. I think it's going to be that bad.
It's definitely difficult to find wins on the calendar looking forward. And, you know, now that the writing on the wall has been a little bit clearer, the direction of this team has become a little bit clearer, the intentions of this ownership group a little bit clearer. I don't think it's that hot of a take to say that they're going to be trading those expiring contracts, right? You know, in years past, they tried to feign that we were, you know, still in the mix, trying to be competitive while also rebuilding, you know, one foot in, one foot out. So this team kind of needs to strip it down to the studs. I think the main benefit that we're getting from this season is seeing what we have in some of these younger guys, some of these 4A players. You know, are these building blocks, are these pieces that we can invest in, like a Bayo, like a Sedan Rafaela type? You know, can we get the deal with Casas done? Please. But there's no reason for us to hold on to players that aren't going to be here for the long haul, aren't going to be here for, you know, two, three, four seasons beyond the current one. So, you know, three games under, I think is, sorry, not three games under, three games within of a wild card spot might be a bit lofty of aspirations, but I definitely do see this team getting rid of some of those contracts at the trade deadline in lieu of some prospects that we can utilize in the future. Anything else that you gentlemen wanted to add on that topic or point? All righty. Terry, what is your hot take for this show?
Mine comes from one of our regular contributors. He's got an Anon account, so don't know a ton about him, but he goes by Tristan Casas Enthusiast. And no real bio to speak of. But another funny thing about this guy is he does seem to be a frequent listener, and we appreciate that. But he's extremely pro Andrew and pro Micah. So not that, and Micah was phenomenal while he was here, but But yeah, he gets triggered a little bit in our mentions. But anyway, he says firing Peter Fatsy would add 5 wins. Now, I would describe that as a hot take. I don't really have too strong of feelings on Peter Fatsy. I will say, you know, when you look at Jaren Duran's breakout, you know, that's come under Peter Fatsy. I think, you know, Abreu has made a big step forward under him. David Hamilton has been, you know, out of nowhere having a good year. Tristan Casas kind of has come up under Peter Fatsy. It's hard for me to sit here and point the finger at that guy and say he's definitely the problem. Now, if the Red Sox were to move on from him, am I going to cry foul? Absolutely not. If you go get like an established hitting coach that's had a proven track record and you think that'll help, then by all means do it. But I think the lack of production here is an indictment on both Bloom and Breslow and the front office. I think they're a much bigger problem than Peter Fatsy is.
Charlie?
I don't want to say this is a clown take, but I don't think Peter Fatsy is the problem. I think your owners that don't want to spend money are the problem, because you can't blame the hitting coach for having these guys that have 5 minutes of Major League Baseball experience expecting them to go off every single game. It's just not going to happen. This isn't the problem. Firing Peter Fatsy is not going to add you 5 wins. Firing Peter Fatsy is going to be the same as firing your bench coach. It's not going to add 5 wins. This isn't the problem. We know what the problem is. I think blaming any of the coaches right now with what we have to play with is wrong. It's just not it. That's not the answer. And it's, I don't know. To be diplomatic, I'm just going to say that that's not the problem. So that's all I'll say.
I think it'd be foolish to say that it's one individual that could cost the team, you know, 5 wins or not. If you look at the major hitting categories, the Red Sox are a top 10 team offensively in a lot of categories, average, runs, hits, you know, doubles, a lot of these major offensive categories, the team is still producing at a pretty high level. Now, you know, if the batters were to go up there and be unprepared, didn't have a game plan, were showing zero signs of improvement, zero signs of better at bats, then that's a different conversation, right? We've lamented how lost Rafaela has looked at the plate, but he's since, you know, had at least more confident at bats, a little bit more patient at bats. He's not trying to swing at everything. He's going up there with approach. You know, he might be swinging on that first pitch, but it's led to some positive results. But as Charlie mentioned, you know, a lot of these guys are gentlemen that are up for a cup of coffee in the majors. They aren't players that were necessarily anticipated on extended playing time. You know, Ref Snyder has done well. And, you know, Donald Smith is starting to turn it around and become a little bit more positive and a little bit more of a contributor. And so to say that it's an immediate 5 wins without a hitting coach, I think is a little bit nearsighted. But, you know, we always appreciate the fan engagement and the takes. Anything you gentlemen wanted to – yeah, Terry?
Yeah, so just go back to last season before the All-Star break. So essentially the first half. In runs scored, we were sixth. In doubles – we were leading all of Major League Baseball in first place. Home runs, we weren't super robust, so, you know, that is what it is. Before the All-Star break, we were sixth in batting average. We were sixth in runs batted in. And then in batting average, we were fourth, and then we were fourth and on base. Let me see where we were in strikeouts. We were 20th. So we were better than a third of the, two thirds of the league when it came to strikeouts. So, I don't know what will happen with Fatsy. You're probably going to have a new manager. When a new manager comes in, sometimes moves get made. But again, I think he's, you know, I think we're getting solid enough production out of him, and some guys are even overachieving. In terms of job security, if he can solve the chase rate for Rafaela and get his plate discipline a little bit better with the, you know, not swinging at that, improve the pitch recognition, I think that would be, that would almost give him a little bit more security with his job heading into next season.
Absolutely agree. Charlie, anything that you wanted to add? All righty. The next hot take we have is from, give me a moment, here it is loading, I apologize. It is from, oh man, I lost it here.
I can run with one of them if you want.
The page is refreshing, I apologize here. I lost the user that chipped in with this one, but the take itself is, for the first time in my life, I can't name more than five players on the team. While, you know, this season has had a lot of turnover and we are getting a lot of call-ups and, you know, mid-season acquisitions, whether it be for cash considerations or, you know, minor league player swaps, it's more of a referendum on you as an individual for not kind of showing up for this team regardless of the product that's being put on the field. I know we've gone through a lot of low points with this team. I think we've had previous iterations of this team, even recently, that has had far worse products on the field, but these guys are trying. They are living and dying out on the field. And, you know, the least that we can do is kind of give them their support that they need, you know, be there for that Fenway environment. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that Fenway experience that John Henry is talking about, but, you know, effort deserves to be recognized. And I don't think that's something that we can lose sight of here, right? There has been Red Sox teams in the past that have definitely given up. You know, I don't want to call it the chicken and beer season, but, you know, teams in more recent memories have absolutely mailed it in. And if you wanted to give up on that team, that's fair because they gave up on us. However, this team definitely has not done that. They keep showing up. They keep fighting. They keep trying to find ways to, you know, scratch another tally in that win column. And for you to only know five players on this major league roster, I think is a very difficult take to have. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
I think this is just, so this is coming from Darth Hater 702. I don't see this as a hot take. I think this is a clown take. I think this is someone just trying to get 2 seconds of fame. There are several players on this team that have been here for the last couple of years. So if you don't know 10, I might ask you if you've really been a Red Sox fan all that long. So that's all the time I'm willing to give you on the air.
Jared?
Well, I mean, all you have to do is watch the games, right? But I will say this. We're here every week because we're committed to seeing this podcast through. So we have to suffer through the agony and the media. And sometimes we're not even mediocre. We're worse than that. But we do. And, you know, for the casual fans, I just wonder, you know, when you're looking on TV, you're like, okay, roughly 25% of the seats are not full. They're just empty. So of the other three quarters, you have to figure another quarter of them are probably the opposing fan base. And then, you know, the remaining 50%, I mean, there's a lot of casuals there and just not a lot of household names. I mean, how well do West Coast teams, like, how well do they know Rafi Devers? Because he's our biggest player. You know, he's the face of your franchise. You know, it's just, other teams have to be tuning in, like, who's this Valdez guy? Where did Dom Smith come from? You know? So I don't know. It's just, it's a rough roster, and none of these guys outside of Hamilton have really stepped up. you know, and it's just hard to get excited about this roster.
I think that's an absolutely fair point. And I also wonder too, you know, as a kid, I bet any one of us, being the three of us here on this call, could have named a lot more players around the league than we do now, right? Like, it is definitely more difficult to kind of, you know, go up and down the major league rosters, name players, you know, as it is as a avid fan. I wouldn't even call myself a casual because, you know, I try to watch as much baseball as I can outside of the Red Sox, and I can't name players like I used to be able to. And so, you know, as priorities shift, as we get busier in life, maybe it becomes a little bit more difficult. But if it's your own team, man, you got to be able to name more than five players, regardless of, you know, an injury-laden roster or not. Five is not very difficult.
Not when you count the pitching staff, but no.
Precisely. All righty. The fourth and final hot take we have comes from Aiden Fuller at AidenFuller07. The training/health staff has to clean house. Bad luck doesn't happen for four straight years. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Well, Aiden Fuller, so Aiden Fuller 07. Bad luck does happen four straight years when you don't spend money, or if the money that you spend is in the wrong spots. Sure, injuries happen. They're a part of baseball. I'm not going to deny that. But I think some of the injuries are just literally freak accidents. Like, you think about so many players that have had injuries happening, not only to the Boston Red Sox. Ronald Acuna has now been gone for a whole nother season. He's out for the whole season. Pitchers have been getting dropped for the year at record pace in 2024. And the number continues to go up because I don't think that the pitchers have geared themselves up, nor do I think they have the ability to throw 100 or 101 miles an hour, and they're putting too much strain on their bodies. It has nothing to do with just the training staff. These are players that are trying to establish themselves on major league clubs. There are, what is it, 25 or 26 players on every team. There are 30 teams. That means there are 780 job openings for you. If you are a position player, that number drops to, and I'm doing the math right now, 360. So that means that if you're a hitter and this is happening to you, you have a 1 in 420 chance of being on a major league roster. Let's not even count the thousands of people that are on minor league teams that you're also competing against, because you may be the number one player in your school, number one player in your city, in your town, whatever. And then you actually face real competition. Then you blow past them. Then you're, you know, single A, double A, and you're trying to take on other guys that have been there for 5 years, 6 years, or rookies like yourself. This is not the health staff's problem. Bad luck can happen 4 years in a row. It just is, unfortunately, our time. And I think players are pushing themselves to limits that they've never been pushed before. I think that Trevor Story would probably still be here if he didn't try to make a fantastic diving play to try to save a hit. These are just accidents. They just happen. It's not something that you can, you know, expect. Sometimes teams have injuries happen at the first month of the season. Sometimes you have like three or four, and that's really it. I remember the New York Yankees had a stupid number of injuries through like 3 months of baseball. Something like 20 some odd players had gone on the IL. That's dumb. And then the following year, they have like five or six guys. Some guys are just injury prone. Giancarlo Stanton is going to spend time on the IL. Chris Sale always spent time on the IL, sometimes for injuries that were self-inflicted and sometimes for injuries that were just fatigue. It is what it is. So I don't think this has anything to do with the training health staff. Every single team, including even the Tampa Bay Rays, who have been a pitching factory, they're losing starting pitchers at record numbers. It just so happens that now that they've left Tampa Bay, at least Tyler Glasnow has left Tampa Bay, they're actually doing well. So it's just like an unlucky, unfortunate circumstance. Sure, if you want to go with that narrative of four straight years, guess what? 2025 won't be any different. There's still going to be injuries, and some of them might be bad too. That's it.
Terry?
Yeah, I mean, you can't just blame it on the training staff, I don't think. I mean, there's just too many factors that go into this. I mean, when Casas messes up his rib cage, I mean, yeah, that's unlucky, but, you know, there could be a mechanical component to that. So, but that's just Tristan Casas. Trevor Story makes a diving play and he blows out his shoulder on a play that looked pretty routine. I mean, perhaps that's Trevor Story just not being, durable enough, but there's a luck component to that as well. Another thing that's concerning that we've talked about is you've had three Tommy John and or bracing procedures done on elbows with Lucas Giolito, Garrett Whitlock, and Chris Murphy. You might have that Luis Perales kid also needing it. That's significant. That's your relatively short-term future there that's not going to be available for a little while. So perhaps that's mechanical as well. There's just so many people that have responsibilities specifically to these different aspects of the team. And it is what it is. The arm injuries are the most alarming to me. And I don't know if you can blame that on Andrew Bailey, but we are a team that historically hasn't had a ton of Tommy John surgeries. Chris Sale needed it 3 years ago. Who was the one who needed it before him?
Was it Lackey? Was that the last one?
Lackey or Dice K, I would say, had them right around the same time. There might have been one more in between there, but this isn't a team that blows out elbows, and we've blown out at least three, possibly a fourth, depending on what happens with the minor league kid. But it's just there's just a multitude of factors here for us to blame it on any one area with all these players.
Yeah, it'd be one thing, you know, if multiple different players on this team had oblique injuries or hamstring tightness or groin issues that kept landing them on the 10-day IL, right? Like they kind of had that Christian Arroyo bug to where, you know, it's I tweaked a calf here, I pulled, you know, an oblique there or whatever, and the team couldn't stay healthy, and we were losing a large percentage of our games to the small, soft tissue, nagging injuries over the course of a season. The issues that we've been running into recently are these freak accidents, are these long-term injuries, right? The brace procedures, you know, dislocated shoulders, cracked ribs. And, you know, to Charlie's point, it could be that this max effort, 100% velocity, 100%, you know, power, 100% of the time. Like the bodies just aren't made to do this. We have such finely tuned athletes that are trying to stretch their bodies beyond kind of the limits and the boundaries of science. They're trying to exert so much force that things are going to break, things are going to pop, things are going to snap. And we're starting to see it across the entire league, right? You know, it's not just the Red Sox that this is happening to. Is it unfortunate? Absolutely. And my guy, if you're able to fix these issues, by all means, don't be selfish. Don't be stingy with the solutions. I think anybody and everybody would love to, you know, remain healthy. Nobody wants to play more baseball than the guys that are on the injured list. The last thing they want to do is be on the shelf rehabbing, you know, trying to do whatever they can to get back on the diamond. You even go back to like Chris Sale. Sure, you know, he fell off a bike and punched a TV, but he also took a comebacker off the hand, right? Like, how often does that happen? Not very likely. You know, Dustin Pedroia's knee, that's not really a baseball injury. Like, these are things that are happening that are, you know, out of the norm of the typical injured list kind of, I guess, likely causes for injury, for lack of better terms. And, you know, we're extending beyond kind of the time frame of this current health and training staff, but it does be happening like that sometimes. And, you know, there isn't a better saying, there isn't like a better way to put it, but freak accidents do happen. These players are, I mean, yeah, Willy Abreu went into the dugout like he's done a million times, and he's on the 10-day IL with a sprained ankle, right? Like, I don't know what the training staff is supposed to do about that. Get new floors, maybe that's a place to start. But it could just be, you know, the nature of bad luck at the wrong time.
Maybe they can turn that small set of stairs into an escalator.
Something, you know, when he injured his ankle, to be honest with you, the first thing I thought of was like, how does this not happen more often, right? Like if you're wearing spikes and you're on concrete, like that is, or, you know, I wonder if it's like a soft kind of like turf-esque or, you know, like the chopped up tire, whatever. But I'm like, how are more guys not slipping, like walking from the clubhouse down to the dugout and, you know, all the stairs, all the steps? Like it feels like that should happen way more often than it does. And, you know, knock on wood that it doesn't.
Do you remember that? This was such a, you probably don't remember, but Hanley Ramirez supposedly hurt his hand or his wrist because he fell down the stairs also. But there were also rumors that he got into a fight with someone. And ironically, and I tried to tie this together, it was just a theory, Mookie Betts missed several games, didn't go on the injured list, but kind of like Devers with the knee thing, 5 or 6 weeks ago, just missed an extended number of games, and both of those incidents kind of coincided. So I'm like, did he go after Mookie? And in hindsight, you know, all these years later, I don't believe that would be the case, because Mookie would be probably the least confrontational guy in there. So we've heard about stories of Curt Schilling and Manny Ramirez tussling in the clubhouse. I think Schilling put him in a headlock or something, and I could see how those would be natural enemies. But yeah, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful with the stairs, and it's just luck, a lot of weird stuff, and can't really put it on the strength and conditioning guys.
Charlie, anything else that you'd like to add? Alrighty, well, we want to say a thank you to all the fans that interacted with us for this Hot Take Tuesday episode. Everybody have a great day and take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.